The Night Sky for July 2007 is part of the Jodcast. For the whole show, go to www.jodcast.net.
Well, now let's have a look at the night sky in July. Well, at least during July, the nights are getting slightly longer and it gets a bit darker in the middle of the night. So that's perhaps a help. As one looks above in the sky at about 10 o'clock, British summer time, we see the constellation Ursa Major, the Great Bear, with the plough as the most obvious part of it. If you then move towards the south, you first come to the constellation Hercules, which contains a magnificent globular cluster called M13, just glimpsed with binoculars, but a wonderful object in a small telescope. Moving further south, one crosses the large but not prominent constellation Ophiuchus, which actually the Sun passes through. It really ought to be part of the ecliptic, but you never actually hear anybody being called an Ophiuchan, do you? Below Ophiuchus lie the constellations of Sagittarius and Scorpio. Sagittarius is towards the centre of our galaxy and is a wonderful constellation to observe, but sadly not from our northerly latitudes. It's so low above the horizon we don't really make much out of what there is to see. A holiday to the Mediterranean is not a bad thing because it does rise somewhat higher in the sky and one can see it much better. Now at that time, late evening, rising in the east, is the beautiful region of the Milky Way containing Cygnus, Lyra, and below them Aquila the Eagle. The three bright stars, Deneb in Cygnus, Vega in Lyra, and Altair in Aquila, make up what I think Patrick Moore called the summer triangle. With binoculars, if you actually move from Altair up towards Vega, you may well spot what looks like a little upside-down coat hanger. It's called Brocky's Cluster, but usually called the coat hanger. A very pretty asterism of stars. So, what about the planets this month? Well, it's not such a bad month, actually. As July begins, you may well be able to see Saturn, which lies in the constellation of Leo, about 7.5 degrees to the west of Leo's bright star Regulus. But as the month goes by, it's getting closer to the Sun, and we won't really be able to see it very well. I'll come back to Saturn a little bit later on. Its magnitude is about plus 0.6, so it's still pretty bright, and the globe still has an angular size of about 17 arc seconds. So we have just a week or two more to observe Saturn until next year. Mercury, however, passed between the Earth and the Sun on the 28th of June. So in fact, during July, it's just 5 degrees away from the Sun at the beginning of the month, increasing to about 15 degrees. It's still too close to the Sun to be seen in the glare of the pre-dawn sky, so we have to wait a while to see Mercury again. Now Mars, on the other hand, is actually getting better as the months go by. It's now rising around midnight and reaches an elevation of about 40 degrees above the southeastern horizon before dawn. The disk is still pretty small, about 6.3 arc seconds, gradually increasing to 7 during the month. And it's just possible that under good conditions, a telescope might show its polar caps and Syrtis Major, which is a prominent dark marking. Now, Mars is going to reach opposition when it's nearest to us in December, and that will be a highlight of the winter months, but at least one can actually begin to see it as it gradually nears the Earth. Well, Venus shines brightly in the western sky after sunset. It sets an hour or so after the Sun, and with a magnitude of minus 4.4, you can actually easily see it. But you will now begin to need a low western horizon, because whereas last month and the month before it was way above the horizon as the Sun set, it's now actually dipping down, and after a while we won't see it again for a bit. Well, are there any highlights this month? Well, I think perhaps there are one or two that might well be worth telling you about. One thing just to say is that many astronomers don't really like the moon very much. Its light gets in the way of observing what they call faint fuzzies, distant galaxies. But it can be fun to observe itself, particularly when the nights aren't too dark. It shows up probably at its best in the evenings when it's at first quarter. That's the terminator runs right across and you see sort of a quarter moon. And on the terminator you see the craters delineated very, very clearly indeed. So that happens around July the 22nd, perhaps something to look forward to. Now, Jupiter, I haven't mentioned that when I talked about planets, because that perhaps really is a highlight of this month. It's seen in the south, and obviously therefore highest in the sky, about 10 p.m. in the evening, and has a magnitude of about minus 2.5, so it's pretty bright. It's up and to the left of the red star Antares in Scorpius, although in fact Jupiter is in Ophiuchus, part of which just dips down between Sagittarius and Scorpius. Sadly, Jupiter is currently at the most southerly point of the ecliptic. Now that's the path of the Sun and near where you see the planets. So it will not be high in the sky for observers at our northern latitudes. In fact, only about 16 degrees elevation from central England, and if you happen to live in northern Scotland, no more than 11 degrees. And thus, seeing it through the atmosphere will certainly degrade our image, which is a real pity. But nevertheless, Jupiter is probably at its best for evening viewing in July. We've mentioned Saturn and Venus as being visible in the evening sky, and on the very 1st of July, you can actually see them at a conjunction. They lie within 1 degree of each other, in fact 42 arc minutes, so they'll appear very, very close indeed. Now again, you will need a low western horizon to see them well, but if it is clear on July the 1st, why not try and have a look? You don't often see them as close as that. Another thing that you might try with a pair of binoculars is to spot one of our dwarf planets. You may remember that the classification of planets has changed, and the largest of the objects in the asteroid belt, which lies between Mars and Jupiter, is called Ceres. It's not that bright at magnitude 9.2, but it can be picked up with binoculars on a reasonably transparent night. And during July, it's tracking across the sky just below Mars. Mars is in Aries, and Ceres, is in Cetus the Whale. On my night sky page, I've actually shown a chart showing you where these two planets move and how they move during the month. So it might be nice just to spot something which is a planet of a sort anyway, and see how it moves throughout the month. So I hope that will give you something to look at during July. Of course, as we go towards the end, the nights draw in a bit and there's a longer period of dark, making astronomy perhaps a bit better for us.